Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
The Philadelphia Eagles are Super Bowl champions. Eagles fans everywhere, this is for you. Let the celebration begin.
Rube, I'm really committed to the Dave's Positivity Corner shtick. It's going to be a little harder today, but we'll have that at the end of the podcast. I don't expect a lot from us there.
I hope you're more committed to Dave's Positivity Corner than Doug is to the run.
I am. I can tell you that for sure that I am. This is the Eagle Eye Podcast presented by Nissan with Ruben Frank. I'm Dave Zangaro.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Rube, the score was 22-17. It might as well have been 1,000,000-1. They were never going to win that game. It was bad. It was just bad all around. The Eagles stink. They stink in every phase. Their quarterback stinks. Their head coach stinks. Yeah, it's almost hard to do this right now because I don't even know what else to say right now about this team.
Thanks for listening. Please don't forget to mention us in the comments section. I mean, we're just repeating ourselves now, but I think the longer it goes without Doug coming up with any answers, the more alarming it is, the more discouraging it is. This isn't 2 or 3 games now. This is a coach who just has no answers. And we just keep seeing the same issues with the quarterback. We see the same turnovers. We see the same play calling trends getting away from the run. We see the same issues on defense. No turnovers, no takeaways. Giving up points after the offense scores, which just keeps happening. Happened both times the offense scored. I got the feeling that, like you said, it could have been 1,000,000-1. If the offense had scored 38 points, the defense would have given up 41. It just was that kind of day. They were going to lose this game. That's the one thing they were committed to. They were going to lose. They were going to find a way. And it's when you keep seeing the same issues manifest themselves for almost 3 months now, it's not a slump. It's just really, really bad team. That's about to start the most difficult part of their season, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, you can kind of segment it, too. Like, this game, I know Cleveland's a 6-win team. They're not as good as the teams that the Eagles have coming up. They're just not. So, you can include Cleveland because their record was a 6-3 team coming in, and they're clearly better than the Eagles. But of these 5 games, to me, this was the most winnable. I mean, if they were going to steal one of these, it was going to be this one. Maybe they'll surprise us and maybe they'll get the Saints without Drew Brees. That seems like a possibility. But I think there's a really good chance here that we're looking at a 3-10-1 team after this stretch is over.
Imagine if it's Taysom Hill versus Jalen Hurts in that game.
It might be.
Could be. Unless Jameis – I mean, Jameis wants 2 for 500 against this team, so who knows. But – or close to it. Yeah. There's no hope. I had hope until today. I had hope that maybe, because this team the last 3 years found ways. They found ways to get through bad starts and turn it around. And Carson would, he was the one constant. He was pretty good even when the team wasn't winning. But I have no hope now. I have no, there's no sense that this is a team that's about to turn things around. You know, the Dallas game, the end of the Giants game, you start thinking, all right, maybe they've got some life. Even the Ravens game, that was a really good team, and they played pretty well in that game. Carson didn't turn it over. You had some hope at different points along the way, while understanding they sucked. You had some hope that maybe this coach has won a Super Bowl. This quarterback has been in an MVP race. They've shown flashes. They've shown signs, but I don't feel that way now. I feel like it's over. I feel like there's going to have to be huge changes when the season's over, if not before. Probably not before, but we've seen that before. And that this team currently, as currently structured, and this coaching staff is just doesn't know how to turn this thing around. And I see no reason to think that all of a sudden, oh, we're playing the Seahawks, the Packers, the Saints, and the Cards, we're going to turn around. I don't see any hope. I don't see any signs that make me think they're about to do that.
Yeah, and it's funny because there normally a loss like this, we would come on here and we'd be kind of fired up. I don't have it. I don't have, like, and I don't like Doug after that game. His press conference, it looks like he's kind of out of it too, because it's the same stuff over and over again. We got to talk about the quarterback, because this was so strange. He was starting this game, and I think we had actually messaged each other right before that pick six, like, hey, Carson looks pretty good. He looks pretty sharp. And then it was just all downhill from there.
Yeah, well, yeah. And he had some good touch on some early passes. He had got it a couple times. And I'm thinking they got the running game going, thinking they're going to run for 200. He's going to throw for like 170, and they're going to win this thing 23-10. And it got away from him so quickly. And I understand he got hit on the pick six, but I mean, that play was ill-fated from the start.
Ball should have been out, by the way. I think Rager was his first read on that.
Yeah.
Throw it.
Yeah. And that was, I mean, that same thing with the safety. You just can't do that. Throw the ball. And you know, I'll tell you what, I don't know how many people out there watched his press conference, but Carson's really good about deflecting the criticism. Well, you know, I did get hit on that one. It's really tough. And, you know, yeah, there was pressure on that one. You know, until you stand there and say and kind of come to terms with how bad you are, I don't see it turning around. I don't see him showing the accountability that he needs to. And, you know, that's been the case with him at times during his career earlier. He didn't have, obviously, anything like this. But when he had a bad game, it was always we've got to be better. You know, we've got to – you know, we've got to take care of the ball. We've got to, you know, have more manageable third downs. We've got to make plays down the field. It's never and I think a lot of people would like to hear him say that.
How do you hold him accountable? Because, you know, he's a fifth-year quarterback, franchise quarterback, $100 million contract. I asked the head coach tonight if he was a starting quarterback next week, and Doug looked at me like, of course. Like, why would you even ask that? I mean, it just seems like accountability is a problem. And he was asked, I don't know, but I don't know what you do. I mean, it's like the same week in, week out. The only thing you can do is bench him. And they're not anywhere close, at least publicly, to doing that. So I don't know how you hold him accountable.
Bench him.
That's the only way. But short of that, there's no other way to do it, right?
No, there's not. But I think he needs it. I think it's time. Jalen Hurts can't be any worse. And if he is, then you get Carson back in there. And his job, like Donovan at 08 when he got benched, a week later he throws four touchdowns against Arizona and takes the team to the NFC Championship game. So maybe it wouldn't be a bad thing for him. Maybe he needs a wake-up call. Maybe he needs a kick in the butt that he hasn't had his whole life, because he's always had success wherever he's been, in high school and college and, you know, his first 4 years in the league. Maybe that's what he needs, because the way he's being coddled or the way he's being handled isn't working. A lot of quarterbacks who are a lot better than Carson have been benched. I mean, Donovan had you know, won 7 playoff games when he got benched and gone to 4 NFC championship games at that point. Terry Bradshaw got benched in the middle of winning 5 Super Bowls. I mean, quarterbacks get benched. You know, the best pitchers get taken out in the second inning if they're getting shelled. Sometimes you just – it's just something you need. I think he needs it. Because what they're doing isn't working. And you know, Jalen Hurts has been number 2 since week 2. I think it's week 2, right? Sudfeld, the first game. So he's had, you know, he's had 10 weeks to, you know, I don't know how many reps, if any, he gets with the ones. He should get some, but I don't care. The Carson Wentz we're watching right now, he can't win in this league. The mistakes keep popping up. Nothing's changing. I think it's time.
Yeah,
and it doesn't have to be permanent.
Exactly. That's a good point, because it's not like if they bench him, they can never go back to him. They kind of have to go back to him unless Hurts plays out, like unless Hurts just lights the world on fire, which who knows. But I mean, they have Carson Wentz under contract. They're kind of locked to him for a little while, so they're gonna have to go back to him. But I kind of agree with you. Like, it's not working, and I don't know. It's back to the kind of bit, like, there's no other way to hold him accountable for making the same mistakes week after week other than sitting him either during a game or before a game, like leading into a week. Other than that, there's no way to hold him accountable. And you have to. I think that right now the play isn't good enough. And that's not to say he's their only problem, because he's not. I mean, that offense is completely disjointed, and there's a lot of blame to go around. And even, you know, the interceptions. On the first one, I think that was more his fault. The ball had to be out earlier to the other guy. But he did get hit. The protection wasn't good today. And the second interception, Alshon jumped at halftime and didn't land until the fourth quarter. I mean, that was awful. But it wasn't good enough. And, you know, we always get into this blame game when a team sucks. Like, is it more on this guy and that guy? The truth of the matter is everyone here has a hand in it. But if your quarterback is bad, you're not going to get out of it. You're just not. I mean, it's the most important person on that field. And if he's playing the way he's playing, you can't win. So I'd at least, even if you don't think Jalen Hurts gives you the best shot at winning a game, holding Carson Wentz accountable might give you the best shot of getting a better Carson Wentz for the rest of the season.
And I mean, if Jalen Hurts is really, really good, are you stuck? No, because you drafted him in the second round, and now you have a really, really good quarterback. If he's average, you know, you let him play for a game. I think you'd have to make it – you'd have to announce it on Monday or Wednesday, because he'd have to get the reps during the week. I wouldn't put him in that position at this point in his career where you're replacing Carson at halftime. Although, you know, if it's 30-0 next week, why not? Yeah, I don't see anything changing unless that changes. I just don't. Yeah. You know, Carson has not had a game with a passer rating over 100 this year. In fact, 7 out of 10 games he's had a passer rating under 80. His last 3 seasons, he started 40 games, he had a passer rating under 80 4 times. So 4 times in 3 years and 7 times in 10 weeks.
Yeah, and he got lucky tonight, because he was headed for like a passer rating like 55 until that garbage time touchdown.
Yeah.
Which I guess technically wasn't garbage time, because they, you know, they had an onside kick attempt and they could have gotten whatever.
Yeah. And you could see that coming. I mean, they do that all the time. They get those, there's a word for it that I probably shouldn't say, but yeah, they always get those late yards and pad everyone's stats. But That's a loser thing for teams to do. They had so many opportunities, and you know, it's only Carson's second pick six of his career. He had one. Kerrigan got him in 17. That's one thing he hasn't done. But just put yourself in that kind of hole that soon. He has, his pocket awareness is gone. just gone. It's non-existent, Dave. He's just like, you know, and granted, I you know, some of the sacks are obviously the O-line's fault. The O-line has not been good. We got to take a talk about Jason Peters. I don't think he's on our script, but we got to touch on him at some point. But his sense of pressure and what's around him, and it's like, I don't know, does he have a vision problem? Is he having trouble seeing? Does he need contacts? He just doesn't see. He doesn't see the pressure coming. He doesn't feel it.
Yeah, it's a feel thing. It's the internal clock is broken. I think that some of that is a product of having this shoddy offensive line this year. I think it's really affected him. He never looks settled. He always used to have a really good sense of when to step up in the pocket, when to escape. And it seems like he just doesn't have that right now. It seems like he kind of locks himself in. He'll try to escape too early. He'll try to escape too late. And it's really weird because that's something that's been like kind of innate in him. It's like, you can't teach that. Like, that's just a quarterback from playing that position for their entire lives should have that. Like, the great ones have an ability to be aware in the pocket, and that part of his game has always been there, and that's gone right now. And without that, we're seeing these mistakes. We're seeing the sacks. We're seeing him take a safety. That stuff is really scary because, you know, if your footwork is screwed up, we can fix footwork, right? Like, we can rep that. We can practice that, break your what am I looking for? Muscle memory there. But if your innate sense of how to be a quarterback is gone, I don't know how you fix that.
Yeah, that's a great point. These are things he's been doing his whole life since he started playing Pop Warner. Just having that court awareness, he doesn't have it right now. That's really, you know, if you have a mechanical issue with the way you're releasing the ball, or, I mean, that stuff's all fixable, but basically what he isn't able to do is how to play quarterback. You know, it's like, that's a big thing for a quarterback, and that's where, you know, that's where he's struggling, because so much of a quarterback, you need a big arm, you need to be a big, strong guy, but it's all up here. And when you don't have that, you got nothing. I don't care how big your arm is.
And when the confidence goes, and, you know, he'll never admit that his confidence is shot, but it has to be. And when I think that when the innate sense of being able to move in and out of a pocket and be just have a feel as a quarterback, when you don't have that, I think it's probably really hard to be confident in that position. And when you know you don't have that, and now you're not confident, now you're overthinking, now you're hesitating, you're not throwing the ball on your first read, like on the pick six, you're hesitating, you're not letting yourself get into a rhythm, you're overthinking, and then your mechanics suffer. So it kind of just snowballs, and he has all the above right now, and it's just getting worse and worse, and it's scary. And that's why I think we're kind of in agreement. The only way to kind of stop the snowball is to take him out. Let him sit for a game, let him sit for a half, whatever you need to do, and see if you can't salvage his mental state and get something out of him that's better for the rest of the season.
Yeah, there was a game, I think it might have been 92, where, you know, Randall was struggling. That wasn't 92, it might have been 95. Randall was struggling, and Kotai benched him for a game and played Jim McMahon. And he said right from the start, this is a one-game thing. Randall, it wasn't 95. That's the year he got benched in Oakland, but this is a one-game thing. He's going to be our quarterback. He needs to sit and watch and step away for a week. And he did. And Jim McMahon played a week. And it didn't hurt him. He didn't play a whole lot better. But sometimes I just think getting away, and I think he's at that point where if – because he could just see it snowball as soon as he had the pick six. Like we said, he was playing pretty well. He made some good throws early. As soon as that happened, everything changed. Like, you could just see him, here we go again, you know? And then, like, the next seven pass plays were like two sacks, a 1 yard completion to Greg Ward. It was that botched RPO that turned into like a 1 yard gain where I think Miles fell down for a yard. And it just started, you know, you could just see it fall apart. You got to be mentally tougher than that. You just can't let things snowball. What do you think the chances are he makes a change?
He's not.
At some point this year?
I mean, I think that if he would make a change, it would have to be like a blowout game at halftime, and he could kind of get away with saying, you know, there are other reasons we're benching him, not for his play. I think that would be kind of an out. You know, if they're down, like you said, I think 30 to nothing. Like, if they're down 30 to nothing after half in against Seattle or whatever, one of these teams coming up, I think maybe that then you have a chance. But I don't know if that's holding him accountable. Like, in that case, I think it's something a little different.
Hey, 'tis the season to thrill at the Nissan year-end sales event. Get in and then get out and experience the most riveting ride of the year in a brand new Nissan. The savings on Nissan's lineup are sure to raise your pulse.
Let's talk about Jason Peters. You're right. We left him off our script, but we need to talk about him.
Caught him.
He's cooked.
Caught him.
He's cooked.
Just caught him. Put him on the practice squad. I don't know. I guess you don't need the dead money. There's really no reason to cut him. But, I was firmly in the play JP at left tackle. He's still better than Jordan Mulata. But now at least Jordan's going to go out there and battle and fight and not hobble off every 10 plays. And
Jordan might get better.
And that's the thing. He's got upside. He's still, 23, I think? 22, 23? He's 23. Let him play. And I don't know if Dillard will be the left tackle next year or Jordan will have a shot at that job. Knowing Doug, I mean, he's pretty loyal to a guy like Dillard, and he'll start out the season. But what do you have to lose? Jason Peters was – that might have been the worst game he's ever played. That was tough to watch. He's tarnishing his legacy now. He's really
it does feel like he's in almost like Eli territory. Like, the more he plays, the harder it's going to be for him to get in the Hall of Fame because he's leaving a bad taste in people's mouths. It's tough to watch, man. I mean, this is a guy who at his peak was one of the best left tackles we've ever seen. Like, he was so good. And watching him just get beat on a nothing move from Olivier Vernon, who's a good player, but he's a good player. He's not great. To watch him get beat like that, it's hard. It's, you know, like, how does that happen? And then Adrian Claiborne is going to do it to you too.
Yeah. Imagine Myles Garrett. I mean, how many sacks would Myles Garrett have had? Like, six?
Myles Garrett was sitting at home just, man, are you kidding me? I missed this game.
Yeah. It is hard to watch, and we didn't have a chance to ask Doug about JP, and I'm sure he would have just said, I have to watch the film. So,
he did say that JP got hurt.
Yeah, he did.
Which is why he left.
Yeah. But we didn't ask him about his play. But he didn't do the weird look when we asked him if he got benched. He didn't do that like benched. He just said, well, he got nicked up. He knows. JP should, you know, gosh, was it Schmitty retired in the middle of a road trip? He just, I can't do it anymore. JP should have some pride and just say, you know what? I'm not the player I need to be to go out there and play left tackle for this team. He should retire tomorrow. He should hang it up.
He got beat by Vernon. He should have pulled Avante Davis, just walked to the sideline. The young man's game.
He's 38 now, and, you know, for so long, you kind of looked at him as being invincible and ageless. And, you know, it was like a couple of years ago, he's playing at a pretty high level. Even last year, he was okay. He was like a B player.
He was better than most guards or most tackles last year, I would say. Yeah. He was a top 50% tackle.
Oh, yeah. Easy. Yeah. Easy. Now he's a bottom 1%.
Yeah.
None percent.
And by the way, the whole O-line today wasn't very good.
Lane was terrible.
Lane had a bad game. He left with an injury. I wonder how much that was affecting him. Maybe it was hurting before that. But he got pushed back by Vernon too. The Eagles making Olivier Vernon look like a Pro Bowler today.
Making him look like Laurence Olivier. I don't know. It didn't make
This is something we'll have to bring up with Doug during the week, but something's going on with Nate Herbig. I don't understand that. He's dealt with a finger injury, a hand finger, and apparently it was pretty serious, but he hasn't been on the injury report. So technically a healthy scratch today. I mean, he's better than your alternatives.
He's gone from a starter to a healthy scratch. And if he's not really healthy,
but yeah, there's something weird.
He wasn't on an injury list. So Pryor's out there, and Pryor's just not that good. Bring on Jamon Brown again. He kept thinking, once the O-line gets these guys back, I'm almost at the point with Lane, and we'll find out tomorrow what's going on, but you have to start thinking about shutting him down and just letting Driscoll play and learn. And, you know, a healthy Jack Driscoll right now is better than the Lane Johnson hobbling around. You know, Jack Driscoll played pretty well when he got to play. And Lane clearly has just not been healthy. You know, it's just, he hasn't been. And I don't know if he will be. I mean, he even told us that. He said it's something he's going to have to deal with all year, and doesn't look like he can.
Well, I mean, today it was a shoulder. Before it was an ankle. And during there it was a knee. So he's just been all over nicked up this year. Jason Kelce, give him a lot of credit for playing through that. He's a tough dude.
Yeah.
I mean, it looked like a bad injury, and he looked so pissed off.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. He came back in there.
Himself. Yeah, it was kind of a fluky freak thing. Luke Jiria came in. It was like a jailbreak for one play. I don't know. If Kelce does end up having to miss some time, you got to think about maybe Sam Mallow at center. And
he's not missing time.
Well, knowing Jason, he won't. But, I mean, you know, who knows? We don't know the severity of it. Yeah. I kind of tend to agree with you if he has any
sanity. It would have to be like a surgery for him
right.
this time.
Right.
Like he needs surgery tomorrow.
Yeah.
You give him credit. I mean, they showed him on TV. He couldn't even put his helmet on. He couldn't buckle the strap. I mean, and yeah. He's out there playing. Give that guy a ton of credit. Let's kind of change gears a little bit, talk about the defense. For the most part, they had a pretty good game. I mean, they gave up, what, 13 points? Is that right?
Yeah.
13? Yeah. But it looked like they kind of got worn out by the end of the game. That run game is tough, trying to stop it for four quarters, especially when you're out there for a long time, especially when the offense
opponents don't have to worry about doing it.
Yeah.
That's why you keep running the ball, because you might get a 50-yard play when, you know, you keep doing it, you keep pounding it and hammering it. You don't stop when there's like 2 or 3 1-yard gains. You keep doing it. And that's why, you know, Nick Chubb had a 54-yarder to set up a touchdown. Doug just doesn't get that. He just it 2 or 3 bad runs in a row, and it's done. He just stops doing it. And it's been that way, you know. And Andy was that way for you know, he's not anymore, but he was that way with Westbrook. You could be averaging 6 yards a carry. You have a couple bad plays, and you just start throwing every snap with a bad offensive line and no protection and a struggling quarterback. Eagles ran, what, 6 times in the second half?
Is that right?
6 times for 10 yards in the second half. And granted, they weren't getting, you know, and I think, you know, Miles was asked about that, and he found himself saying, you know, they made some adjustments, and then he kind of stopped himself because he's basically throwing his coach under the bus because they didn't make any counter adjustments, but they didn't. And if you're going to have a good running game, you know, were they 63 yards in the first quarter and 106 for the game? I mean, and this has been a recurring theme. This is 3 weeks in a row where they haven't been able to run the ball late in the game. They've run it well early, and they haven't been able to run it late. And I asked Miles about it, and he didn't really have any answers. He just said the Browns have a good defense and made some plays. But it was the same way. Even when they beat Dallas, they had trouble running out the clock. They couldn't run the ball again. You know, Miles is only averaging 3.5 yards a carry in the fourth quarter. No, he's averaging over six in the first three quarters. And as a team, they're averaging 3-3 in the fourth quarter. And that includes a 12-yard loss by Killens. So that kind of skews the numbers. But bottom line is they do not run the ball well late in games. I don't know if it's fatigue on the, by the backs or by the O-line, or teams are just adjusting and Doug's not. You know, maybe a little more Boston Scott wouldn't hurt. He ran the ball well again. You know, what was he, 5 for 48? I don't know. But you got to be able to move the chains late in games if you have a lead to run the clock, and if you're down in a close game, to maintain some semblance of balance. So, you know, defensive linemen can't tee off on the quarterback, and this team can't do that. I mean, the way they ran the ball in that first drive, I'm thinking they're running for 250 today.
And then Miles fumbled, and he thought, well, they're not running the ball anymore. And that fumble was bad. I mean, he just can't cough up the ball. I mean, if he scores that, I think we're looking at a much different game, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. I know the weather was bad. The ball was wet. But that's, yeah, two turnovers inside the 5-yard line. It's just, you're not going to win like that. They have no margin for error.
You know, that's the thing. We've talked about that all year. This team isn't good enough to make the mistakes they make.
If you're a football fan, you need to check out this new game, Sunday Night 7, on the NBC Sports Predictor app. There's really no reason not to play. It's totally free and has $2 million in guaranteed cash prizes this season, with $100,000 up for grabs every week. Just make 7 predictions about what will happen in Sunday Night Football for a chance to win some serious money. Download the NBC Sports Predictor app or head to nbcsports.com/predictor to make your Sunday Night 7 picks.
That was a little bit of a false start from you, another pre-snap penalty, because we didn't get to talk about the defense enough.
Let's do it now.
Yeah, they made some mistakes. Or too many, like, they talk all week about not having pre-snap penalties. How many did they have? Quite a few. Yeah. Yeah, they got worn down. That Nick Chubb run, poor Joe Osman, he got stiff-armed out of the stadium. Rodney McLeod has a terrible angle, and then Nick Chubb breaks off the long one.
Is that your defensive first NFL game?
It was, yeah, first NFL game. Hey, I kind of give him credit because he ended up making the tackle. He picked himself out from inside the field and ran down and caught up Nick Chubb. But
yeah,
they have some defensive problems too. I mean, Fletcher made that big play. I mean, that was huge. You like to see that against really the best guard in football to be able to do that was a big play. Avante Maddox is a problem. Jalen Mills
was terrible today.
Is a problem.
This might have been the worst game he ever played. And I don't think Avante Maddox is not the answer at outside corner. I think that's clear.
He's not an outside corner. And honestly, yeah, the second year in a row where he hasn't played very well. He's only been in the league 3 years. So we all looked at that skeptically when they said, yeah, Avante is our starter. Going, all right, we'll see. Because when you have Slay on the other side, people are going to throw at Avante, and he hasn't played well. He's not an outside corner.
Yeah, and even in 2018, he played well for a stretch there, and then, you know, he struggled in the postseason. He's not. I don't know what the answer is right now. Our boy Michael Jacquet probably deserves a shot, but that's not going to happen. You know, you could move Jalen back to corner, but then you have issues at safety. They don't have a whole lot of depth there.
This team has a favorites problem. They play favorites. They have their favorites. Jim Schwartz loves Jalen Mills. He plays Jalen Mills. He loves Avante Maddox. They play Avante Maddox. Doug Peterson's loyal to Jason Peters. He plays Jason Peters. He's loyal to Alshon Jeffrey. He plays Alshon Jeffrey. They're loyal to these guys for no reason. I mean, it's part of the reason they're in this position is because they're loyal to bad players. No one gets held accountable. And now you're a 3-7-1 team or whatever the hell they are.
Because 3-6-1. Come on now.
They'll be 3-7-1 in a week or 2 weeks, a week and a day from now. I already lost to Seattle. And,
I like when Dave gets worked up.
It's just stupid to be loyal to these guys who aren't any good. Like, I understand loyalty is an admirable trait, but in the NFL, it's a results-driven business. And when you're watching these guys get burnt, we all love Avante Maddox. He's a great guy. He's a nice fella. He's not an outside corner. He just isn't.
You're totally right, and I think that's been made apparent the last couple of weeks. But I think part of it is Now, I think in Alshon's case and in Jason Peters' case, they have alternatives. You know, they have some young receivers that, you know, maybe they could take a longer look at. In the secondary, I don't know what options there are other than Michael Jacquet. I don't know, Craig James is hurt. I think he's the answer. You know, they have some young late round guys who I don't think at this point are the answer. I don't know. I mean, this now it's a Howie problem. I mean, this they've been looking for cornerbacks since Lito and Shepard. So since Lito and Sheldon and Lito and Shepard, they haven't had two good corners since, I don't know, since Lito and Asante or Lito and
I call Shepard. That band name, by the way, Lito and Shepard.
There's a band called Lito and the Shepherds from South Jersey, actually. From
your right?
Hometown. They're from your hometown, and they're really good. Yeah, Lito and the Shepherds. Big Eagles fans, not surprisingly. Nobody's going to form a band called Avante and the Maddoxes. That's not going to happen.
Doesn't have the same ring to it. No. I don't know. But at what point do you take Jalen Mills off the field and play Will Parks or Kayvon Wallace? Right? I mean, all those guys are, you know, Will Parks and Jalen Mills are here on one-year deals. I don't know if Will Parks is any better, but I've seen some decent signs from him. He's younger than Jalen Mills.
Yeah.
I'd play him. You have a fourth-round rookie in Kayvon Wallace. I'd play him.
Two things about the defense I'm just going to throw out there, and I touched on this earlier, but their knack for giving up points as soon as the offense scores – and we talk all the time about complimentary football. They do it every game. I mean, I'll have to look it up and see if it's my imagination or it just keeps happening. But that is a bad defense. And I know 13 points, if you hold most teams to 13 points, you're going to win. But, you know, it's – and Jim Schwartz always says, you know, do we score – do we allow, you know, a few enough points? Do we hold them to, you know, a few enough points to win the game? And most of the time, this defense doesn't do that. If the offense scores 50, they're going to give up 52. If the offense scores 3, they're going to give up 5. I guess they can't give up 5, but they'll give up 7, 6. Well, no, because the safety wouldn't be on the defense.
Sure.
But in any case, that's a little esoteric even for us. And the other thing is just the lack of turnovers. They have 3 interceptions in 10 games.
Slay dropped one today.
Slay dropped one. Last week it was, I don't know, was it Nickell Robey-Coleman? I don't remember at this point.
Off the face mask, yeah.
Yeah, off the face mask. Every week it's a different guy. They're in position.
Fletcher got one today. They should have had another one. Well, not interception, but turnover.
Oh, yeah, Fletcher forced a fumble. But you don't really see Fletcher do the BG, you know, swipe thing. So that was good. And Singleton, nobody else knew the ball was loose. Singleton jumped on it. So
I liked Singleton looking like, I better try to score this because I don't know if the offense is going to. They did, but
– yeah.
And then I thought Josh Sweat deserved one. I thought that was kind of a crappy –
terrible call.
Progress call, yeah.
Yeah, terrible call, not reviewable. And another one while we're on the officials was, you know, there should have been DPI on Fulgham on the interception, non-interception that led to the field goal. That was – I mean, he just got, you know, he got mauled on that play. He's come back to earth a little bit, too. He had a few drops again. 2 weeks in a row, no completions of 20 yards to a wide receiver. That doesn't have anything to do with the defense, so I'm off topic. For that, I apologize. But, Ted, they have 6 interceptions in their last 20 games. And
that's
3
hard to do. That's
the fewest ever by an Eagles team after 10 games.
Yeah. It's almost like you got to try to not pick off the ball. Like, you would think that – even when you, like, you have a defensive line that kind of gets decent pressure, even if they're not playing up to the level they should, like, they're getting decent pressure. There are times where the guys are in their face. Like, you would think you get a tip ball interception here or there. They just don't get them at all. It's really strange, actually.
Yeah, and the 3 are by a safety, a linebacker, and, well, Rodney, Alex Singleton, and when Nick Mullins threw it right to him, and Jalen playing safety. So the cornerbacks don't have a pick this year. The last cornerback to have an interception for the Eagles is Sidney Jones, which is comical. You know, they face like 300 passes this year, and their cornerbacks haven't picked one off. I mean, you know, back in the day, I mean, you know, I don't know. I know interceptions are down league-wide, but they're not down that much. And I don't know. I think part of it is – the scheme that Jim plays, you know, they like to play bend, don't break. And for the most part, it works. They don't give up a ton of points compared to most teams. But for this team and this offense, you might have to be a little more aggressive and take more risks because, it's not working. And, you know, there's times where you feel like the only way that they can score is if they get the ball back, short field, pick six, because the way the offense has been, I don't know how else you score.
Yeah. All right, it's time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
DPC?
Dave's Positivity Corner, what do you got?
Oh, it's going to be a loaded Dave's Positivity Corner. I'll start out with Richard Rodgers.
Okay.
Rich Rod. Eagles are lucky to have him since Ertz got hurt. This is a guy who didn't play the last 3 years. And he had 13 catches in 17, 18, 19 combined. I think 17 with Green Bay and here the last couple of years on and off the roster. Really good hands. He's really crafty. He knows how to get open. Carson seems to have some, you know, he's the most experienced. He's been in the league since, 13? What's called 15 game passes in a season. So, you know, I thought he's made some big plays really over the last month. That's one. And, you know, he's not going to give you anything at the line of scrimmage. He's not a blocker, but at this point, he's a weapon.
I mean, he missed the block on the pick six.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's one. And then Alex Singleton he was their best defensive player today, I thought. He was really good against the run, you know, just really active. He recovered that fumble. He had a sack. He had, 13 tackles. Just really active. I'm still not sure how good he is in coverage, but he gives you an honest effort out there.
He had the big tackle on the goal line stand.
That was a great play. Yeah, that was a huge play at that point. And, I mean, they'd driven, 94 yards or something? Mm-hmm. So I think it's been a long time since this team had a homegrown linebacker. I guess technically he's not homegrown because he played in Canada. He wasn't a draft pick, but, you know, they're good linebackers, have been free agents. You know, Hicks had a couple good years, Kendricks. So it's good to see somebody that, you know, came off their practice squad. And I don't know if he's a long-term answer, but I think he's a good player and tremendous effort. And he was their best defensive player today.
Yeah, I'll give you Isaac Seumalo. I thought he played pretty well in his return. They needed him. At least you have one guard who can play.
Yeah. Goddard. Goddard had a good game.
Yeah.
He was still fighting down the left sideline there. He was brawling with the safety. He was trying to tackle him. You like to see some fight. You know, you look a game like this, you look around, who's still got some fight in him? And who's given up? So, but it's not a real crowded Dave's Positivity Corner.
Yeah, I got nothing else. Jake Elliott made a field goal.
Yeah, he's made two in a row.
He made good streak.
So, yeah. Cody Parkey now has had two of his last three field goals against the Eagles blocked.
Yeah. Josh Sweat had a sack.
Yeah.
He has four.
I was impressed with what's his name? The color guy.
Mark Schlereth.
Schlereth. He knew as soon as he got that sack, it was his first sack since week three, whatever it was.
I thought the announcer crew was pretty good.
Yeah, Schlereth's good. I was really impressed with him. He's very good.
Play-by-play guy's good too.
Yeah.
Chicago, I forget his name. But I thought they did a good job. Normally, you know, so we haven't been traveling during this weird season. So, you know, we never really hear the announcers, but we're kind of getting them this year. And there have been some some tough weeks. I thought this week they were pretty good.
Yeah, who do you mean? Papaya?
I won't say. You won't get me there. If you enjoy the Eagle Eye podcast, do us a favor. Rate and subscribe wherever you get your pods. We'll be back with you during the week, kind of a different schedule, but you guys will figure it out. We'll have two during the Thanksgiving week. That's all we have. Everyone, enjoy the beginning of your week after that miserable,
half-hearted, enjoy the
no-good game. We'll talk to you soon.